The Buzzer After Hours. Music. Stories. Just dropped releases. The after party. Nothing is taboo. After Hours.
Hey y'all, I am Shay. This is the Buzzer Podcast. Independent music releases, global coverage, on-air indie. From iPad to yours, over the airwaves. Welcome and enjoy. The top four episodes of Season 1 air this week. These are the top four of the Season 1 shows with leading fan engagement, subscribes, and download count. Tonight we have Sonic X from Toronto, Canada. The original broadcast aired April 12th. Enjoy the show. Cheers. Today, Sonic X comes on board. Sonic X is a hard rock band from Toronto, Canada. Band members Joey Greco and Joseph Cumbo join us. So today we have Sonic X, rock and roll, gritty rock and roll from the heart of Toronto. And today we have Joe Greco, drums and vocal, and Joseph Cumbo, who does the bass and management of the band. Welcome, guys.
Thank you for having us on.
Thank you. Thanks for having us on, Shane.
No, it's great to have you on. So I've been listening to the band's music, and as back as 2004 with your self-entitled debut EP. You're still getting radio play for news for you, aren't you?
Yeah, actually, it's really funny because it's our first album. It was on our first album on a label called Z Records, which is a UK label, and it's one of our most popular songs, even to this day. It's, when we check our stats on Spotify and iTunes and all that, it's still one of our most popular songs, for sure.
That's a good song.
Yeah, thanks.
Good song. And then you followed it up with an EP in 2007?
We followed that up with another album called 13.
Yeah, in 2007. In 2007?
Yeah, it wasn't an EP. It was a full album.
It was? Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Well, it's okay. Yeah, it was a full album, and it even actually had some bonus tracks that were in the first record. Because the first record was mostly released in the UK. It was like a European label and didn't get a lot. At that time, you were putting out CDs and all that. It wasn't released full out here in North America. So on the second record, when we moved to a label called Chavis Records, which is a US-based label. Uh-huh. And Bill Chavis, who owns the label, he really loved that first record and wanted to re-release it. But we said, we already went down that road. Let's just focus on new stuff. But we kind of met in the middle and decided to include, I think it was four or five songs, I can't remember now, from the first record and release them as bonus tracks on the record called 13. So that's a full album plus bonus tracks, actually. Long story, but.
And what caused the decision to release the debut album only in the UK?
It was really just circumstances. We had taken a long break. We were called something else before. We were called LA. The band was called LA. We toured extensively here in Canada at the time. We were a force piece. And we took a long break. And when we came back, we changed the name to Sonic X. And a friend of ours who was in a band, he was signed to Z Records and said, hey, why don't you guys send your stuff over to Z Records and see if they'll sign you. So we did. And, it just kind of evolved that way. And it was a UK label. We weren't really looking for a deal. It just kind of evolved that they wanted to sign us. And we said, sure, let's do this. And it was a good move because it actually kickstarted the band again. And okay. We all got back together. Yeah. So that's why we went with that route.
And what did you do different for 2015? Fall from Grace.
Yeah, so Fall from Grace is an EP. That's a five song EP. I can't even remember, four or five song EP. I think it's four. And so with that, that was kind of a point where we introduced Joey into the band. And at the time when we put the record together, we were kind of doing electronic drums at the time. You know, the technology now is really great, so electronic drums sounded pretty good. But when we got Joey involved, he helped us produce some stuff in the past. Like, he helped us on the 13 record as a producer engineer, mm-hmm. and he was doing the same on the Fall From Grace record. But he did some re-recording of the tunes with real drums, and we really liked the sound, and it really took the songs to a different level. So mm-hmm. we decided to ask Joey to join the band, and that was a big change for us in 2015. And also at that point, we decided to go independent and lose the labels as well.
And Joey started with drummers, jazz drummer and backup vocals, Joey?
Just drums and just mixing the music. That was basically what I was doing for the band at the time.
Okay, and you have another band member, Lawrence Falconer. I saw his instrumental, which I mm-hmm. love instrumentals. My Inception is pretty good.
Yeah, he's a phenomenal player, Lawrence. And Lawrence and I go back a long way. We have been in bands together for a really, really long time, even before Sonic X and all that. But he's just a phenomenal player and a great writer. And he's a main contributor to the band, so he's one of the co-founders.
Yeah, I was impressed. I was impressed. Yeah. So tell us a bit about how both of you came into the music space. Can you tell us a bit about your backgrounds?
You want to go ahead, Joey?
Well, with me, it was basically back in the 80s. I mean, I'm playing drums in different bands at the time. And then I got out of the music business, and then I would say about 15 years ago, I just decided to get back into it and started writing some songs. And Fred Kirchy from Alias and Sheriff heard the songs and mm-hmm. brought me to LA, and a few labels were interested in me at the time. From what I was doing. And I just didn't want to really be a solo artist. I didn't want to do that. I think I was just more of a studio junkie. I just wanted to just basically play with my toys in my studio and just basically engineer and write music. I didn't necessarily want to perform it. So that's basically like my story. I've been mostly a studio guy all my life, for most of my musical life anyway. So I never really got into a band situation I'm an intimate band situation until I hooked up with these guys. So that's basically in a nutshell what my musical career consists of, basically.
Well, your studio's pretty kick-ass. I've seen it on Facebook.
Yeah, thank you. It's designed for the way I want to do things. Mm-hmm. I have my heroes. Like I said, a lot of people are influenced by, you know, musicians and things like that. I'm more influenced by guys that were mixed and recorded records mastered records. That's more my thing. Uh-huh. And, obviously, yourself, you can spend an unlimited amount of money for gear because it costs a fortune, but I think I got my place to the point where I get to sound like the way I want to sound, so mm-hmm. so I'm very happy, and thank you for the nice words, you know.
That's awesome. I'm jealous. My home studio is nothing like that, but it's incredible, and you put out a lot of great music on Facebook.
Well, thank you very much. I'm more of an experimental writer. I brought those ideas amongst us. I don't really want to write one style. I basically will pick up a guitar or play on a keyboard or something, and whatever comes to my head, I just lay it down. So I don't really have a view of a song. I just kind of let it go where it's going to go. So it depends on my moods, right? So again, thank you for the kind words. I appreciate you listening.
You're welcome. And what about you, Joseph?
Growing up, really, it's, you know, I was supposed to be a guitar player way back, but you know, when you start out these things with your friends, like everybody wants to play guitar because it's glamorous. So I ended up switching over to bass because
it was sexier, right?
Yeah, you know, yeah, exactly. But you know, I quickly learned actually that playing bass wasn't such a bad option because everybody wants to play guitar and some of them don't do it well, but everybody needs a bass player.
Yeah.
So bass players, drummers, very in demand and under, you know, utilized probably. But so I did that. And just growing up, I was really mostly playing live. We didn't really have a lot of, I guess, resources to record stuff because it's expensive. So really just always playing live and all that. And when I was in college, I took media arts and I was lucky enough to get a job working for the band Triumph as an intern.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, so when I started working for Triumph, you know, because I was in there with them so well in grade, we used to get a lot of free studio time. So Triumph, if you know kind of their history, they own their own studio called Metalworks in Mississauga here in Canada, Ontario.
Is there studio Metalworks?
Yeah.
So they're behind that. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So they own it. It's an amazing studio, which now it's a post-production place for movies and film, and it also is a school. They have a school in there too. So Gilmore actually owns it out right now, and he's done some phenomenal work with that place. But I worked there, and we would get a lot of free studio time. They'd actually get some of the new engineers who worked there. We were kind of the guinea pigs, and they would train, and we would get to do demos for free, and the engineers would train, and we'd get some free demos out of it. So that's how I kind of cut my teeth as far as the studio side of it was concerned. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I was in the band, like I told you previously with Lawrence, we were in a band called L.A., and we toured across Canada extensively, did a lot of recording. We won Best Toronto Club Band way back. And that kind of got us a lot of interest with major labels. We were very close to signing with a bunch of labels.
Wow.
We were very, like, literally on the doorstep when the whole grunge thing exploded. With the minute we saw the Nirvana video, me and my drummer turned to each other and we said, "That's it, we're screwed here. Our career's over in rock," right? So it was literally that fast. So we didn't get signed to the big, huge deal. But the band broke up at that point. And then, you know, in 2004, we got back together and started this new venture called Sonic X, you know, and it's morphed into this situation now with Lawrence, Joey, and I, who are kind of carrying on the flame. But our singer who was in the band, Adam Troy, he left after our last EP called Fall from Grace, but we're doing some stuff with him now, just some fun stuff. So he may eventually, you know, in time re-enter the picture. We're just not sure, but he kind of left for personal reasons, but that situation may change in the future as well.
Yeah. When you talk about Nirvana, are you talking about when they first hit the scene with Love Buzz or their one?
Yeah, Smells Like Teen Spirit. The minute we saw that
film,
I swear we were in the car, and me and my drummer, we came on the radio. We looked at each other, and we were like, you know, we're done. Like, this is over. This is going to change music. The minute we heard it, it did. All the rock bands that we knew that were on the horizon, everything just dropped, right? So,
do you know what that was about?
No, well, I've heard the story, but I can't remember it right now.
Yeah, it's something to do with they were partying. It was after the party or something like that. I can't remember the whole story, but it was they smelled deodorant called Teen Spirit or something like that. It was some really wacky reason, but it shows you when somebody's gifted, they can make a song out of anything.
Joey's like that, eh? Joey can write about anything. He's a writing machine, man.
Yeah, actually, that's what I'm going to come back to. Like Joey said that you said that you have it's whatever your mood takes you, and with the music and what you put out and that or what you write. We're coming up to listen to a track, "Fly Around the World." I saw your acoustic version on YouTube, and it was great.
Well, thank you.
Thanks. And you know what? I think, this is only my humble opinion, I think you should release it as a ballad. Like, that's a great rock ballad.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you know, it was a cool song. And the funny thing about that song, it came together, I think it was a Saturday morning, like at 4 o'clock in the morning. And I was, you know, I was watching TV and I was, Red Cross, you know, like Red Cross, how they will put out these 30 minute infomercials on to help the kids that are in need. And so I was watching it and I had a guitar in my hand and I looked up and I saw this, African-American child with tears in his eyes, you know, and I'm saying, you know, wow, man, I would fly around the world just to help you, right? And then within 10 minutes, I wrote all the lyrics and the song was born right there.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, well, that's great. You did a good song.
Well, thank you. Thanks.
So we're going to listen to a song next, Fly Around the World from the Fly Around the World album and released November 2019.
You had for life is dead and gone.
So what do you think about my idea of turning that into a ballad?
You know, it's the funny story about that, Shay, with the reason why we even recorded that. We recorded that in My Wonderful Life. There's a station, radio station in Germany, who was putting together, because of the whole COVID thing, they were putting together a day, or it was a whole weekend of acoustic songs. Like they reached out to a whole bunch of bands that they knew, big and small, independent, and said, hey, you know, send us acoustic, like unplugged versions of any song that you have. We want to put this festival together. So I said to Joy, let's do these songs acoustic. This radio station in Germany wants to play them on the air. So that's how that was born, for those two songs, Fly Around the World and My Wonderful Life. That's why we even did them. But I like the idea. I think it's a good idea, at least maybe as a ballad.
Well, I hope to hear it one day.
Yeah,
well, you know, the files are there. All we have to do is just polish them up.
That's it.
Well, you have the voice for it, Joey. You definitely do.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Do you believe that the band evolved and went to the next level when Joey became lead vocals in 2019?
Well, he's going to go ahead, John.
I'm just going to be honest. I always am. I like Adam, and what I'm about to say is Adam and I sound a lot alike. I don't think there was another level. I just think it was different. And the only reason I say that is because I'm not basically an 80s type of person. I'm more of an alternative rock and punk type of guy. Okay. So my hooks or my writing style is a little bit more slidey. Like if you listen to me sing, or I slide my vocals, it's like, yeah, I got this compression. And and it's just more like that dirty, grungy type of sound, right? So I think if I were to best describe it, I think it's just different. I wouldn't say the next level. I just think it's different. And
the thing I could add, Joey or Shay, is just the writing is a little bit different too. That's kind of matured to a point that it is kind of next level, but it has nothing to do with, you know, Adam not being in the band at all or Joey singing. It's just a maturity process we went through, and Joey brings another level of songwriting we didn't have in the past in the band. So he added to what we already had and made it, you know, just tweaked it and made it more professional sounding.
No, I thought Adam was great. I just saw the band change in terms of your sound. Yeah.
And also,
I happen to like your lead singer's voice.
Yeah.
Well, sonically, we took a different approach as well, and we there was a certain type of sound back then, and then Lawrence and I were just messing around. We did this song. It's on the EP. It's called Nasty Weather. And now when I was mixing that song, like I was talking to Lawrence and say, you know, let's try this wall of sound type of thing where it's just a mixing thing on where you pan the guitars and at what levels to bring them at certain points. Mm-hmm. And then with different voicings on the guitar. Yeah. So we tried this wall of sound. And at the time I was just trying it out. I don't know if I ever perfect it, but I was getting there. It's better now. And back then it was a little bit more like Lawrence is a great guitar player. So he does all these, these integrated chords within the chord structure when he's playing a song. With the wall of sound, we broke them up. So we'd play the guitars would be played in different ways, in different parts of the neck to create this giant spectrum. So that has a lot. I think that's what happens. That's why I'd say it's different, because it sounds different. But if you break it down, it's pretty well almost the same. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So,
cool. So does each member have different influences, like musical influences? Are you pretty much all the same? Like any bands that you follow that might find a way into your music?
We're a little bit different, like Joey and I and Lawrence. Lawrence and I are a little more similar and more of a rock background. And that Joey brings that nice edge to our sound, where he's a little bit more out there, a little more alternative, a little more edgy, and willing to try and go outside the scope of what a rock song would have. So I would say the dynamic really works, because we're not similar. You know, he brings that little bit of edge and that little bit of tension into the music that helps kind of kick it into the next gear. But Lawrence and I are a little more similar, I would say, but I think Joey brings another element in for sure.
Okay.
You agree, Joey, or?
Yeah. I appreciate the 80s. I appreciate what they were doing. It's just, I can't listen to it. It's not for me.
Okay.
You know, I great music, great songs. Just the production, just not my thing, you know? So
yeah, I just thought you were into that. So a completely different era, too.
You don't like the spandex, Joey. Admit it. Come on.
Well, it's not, like I said, my vintage belongs in that era. A lot of people, you know, were into that. And when I started hearing Pearl Jam and listening to Soundgarden and all those kind of things, I go, yes, that, or like, yeah, Alice in Chains, that's my thing. That's what I like. Uh-huh. And yeah. That's when I really started to enjoy music, right? So I know if I was in a circle right now amongst my friends, I'd be pelted with eggs or something like that.
Ah, man, that's good. But I like that stuff too.
You know, but that was the stuff I really got into.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Well, we're coming up to the track Leave Me Alone, which is from Fly Around the World. Can you tell us a bit about what that song is about?
Well, I was on the, as we all, you know, we're all from the Toronto area, right? So, you know, where I'm on the 401, I was in traffic, mm-hmm. and I look up and I see all these cameras. And then I had a meeting somewhere, and they had this keypad, you know, with the swipe card, and all the mm-hmm. security and cameras everywhere. And I just said to myself, oh my goodness, everywhere we go, we're being watched. Like I just leave me alone. Like it bugs me. And then, mm-hmm. and then I finished what I had to do, came back to the studio, and Lawrence sent this really groovy idea on the guitar. And then we were talking on the phone. I said, hey, do you mind if I try this hook? And he goes, yeah, give it a go. So I tried this hook, and then the lyrics just from that day, what was going on with all the cameras and stuff. I just, again, 10 minutes, the lyrics were written and the song was done.
That's great.
And Lawrence started it with that riff. It was a great riff. He just, when I started screaming over that riff, it was, yeah, like, that's my thing. Like, I loved it. It was great. So
that's a nice, great track.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks.
Great track. So we're going to hear Leave Me Alone next.
Walk.
So are most of the songs you put out collaborations between the three of you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like everything goes through all three of us. You know, everybody has an idea and then we just contribute and we throw it in the pot and whatever comes out, comes out.
That's amazing.
Except for lyrically, it's my job to write the lyrics.
Okay.
But as far as music and like the hooks and where the song is going to go and how it resolves and things like that, it's a team effort for sure.
And Joey's really great at getting everybody involved. Like, he's really super easy to work with in the studio. I'm not really a big studio guy, but he puts everybody at ease. And just the collaboration between the three of us has been really, really, really easy. And, you know, when you're in a situation like that, it just makes, you know, putting music together and the whole creativity process so much easier, right? There's not that tension that's what some bands have, and everybody's kind of the infighting. We don't seem to have that, and it's been a really good experience with us three working together.
That's great to hear.
Yeah.
That's great to hear. You were talking about the studio is not your thing, so I guess you prefer live gigs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm totally a live guy. Joey has to drag me to the studio. He'll probably tell you. So, For me, I always found it kind of sterile in the past. Now, you know, it's got to be so perfect and it's, you know, the notes have to line up and it's, you know, just so tedious for me and it takes a long time. I love the live experience and the interaction with the crowd and it's immediate. You know, you see the expressions, you see people rocking out, it drives you. It just, you know, it makes me feel like what music's all about. You know, you just see people moving and you just get that immediate feedback. The studio for me was always like, you know, you do all this work, prep work, and then you lay it down and you record, you put it away for months and people hear it, but you never really see them enjoying your music, right? Like, you know, people listen to your tracks, like you just don't get that feedback. You know, somebody can tell you, like you're telling us you like this song and this other song, and that's great to hear after, but I just love the immediate response from live shows and the audience. I feed off that, and that's just what I'm more used to in the past. But you know, the recording part is obviously necessary, and you know, the really good thing now is like working with Joey. He makes it so easy. We were in the studio just a week ago doing some fun stuff, you know, just for ourselves and to put on Facebook. Nothing we're going to release, but it just made it so much easier and fun. So my mind is changing a little bit, but I still, if he gave me the choice, I would go live. Absolutely, 100%. Live records from now on. That's it.
Well, nothing beats a live gig.
Yeah.
I love the studio.
Joy's a studio cat.
I love the studio. I enjoy it. It's so much fun for me.
Well, he probably lives in a studio.
So I do. I do.
Yeah, it looks like it on Facebook.
Oh yeah, I know for sure. For sure.
Totally joking.
I love it here. No. There's a bed right on the other side of the amplifiers, and that's my bed.
I'm that's there. Cool. Do you like going to live gigs?
I like it. I like it. I just I don't know. It's the. Playing drum like I like it. It's just I don't know. It's not like it used to be, but I do enjoy it. Don't get me wrong, I do enjoy it. I think in the studio there's more challenges for me, and I think that's what drives me in the music. It's just that drive that just try to get that sound or try to get something done. You know, I just enjoy it. So
yeah, and the thing too with Joey Shay is that he plays like literally every instrument. So for him. You know, really? Layering. Yeah, he's brilliant at that stuff. And just for him layering tracks and like, you know, you layer your keyboards, you layer all these guitar parts and vocals. And like, he's so creative. And, you know, being there, just like I said a week ago, just the stuff he has on his hard drive is just insane. I mean, you know, he's just such a creative force that I can see him, you know, being like that and liking the studio more. And that's why. As opposed to, you know, someone like myself, I'll help write and I'll do my bass parts, but he just has more depth to what he does in the studio for sure.
Well, recording with me definitely is, it's not hard.
No, it's definitely not hard.
I mean, my ethics are totally weird. I mean, when people come to record with me, they're not used to what I do. So,
yeah,
I usually explain that. Okay, well, I'll give you an example. Okay, so what I'll do with a singer is I will press record and walk away, and they just look at me. I said, "Sing." I'm gone. Then I'll.
You did that to me last week yeah, too. Sorry,
so I'll do that. I'll do that with guitar players or bass players. I just literally plus record and leave. And then when I hear the track is over, I walk in, I press stop, pull up another track, say, okay, play it again. So then I'll have them play it 3 or 4 times, and then I'll just pick the best parts, and then I'll just comp it, put it together. That's it. I think because I don't look at like a lot of guys are looking at WAV files on the screen to make sure everything's lined up and everything's perfect. Music's not meant to be perfect. It's not. Music's meant to be heartfelt, and whatever comes out, comes out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't look at a screen. I listen with my ears. And if it felt good, it might be out of time, but it felt good, I'm leaving it. And I will not edit it. And I don't believe in auto-tune and all that stuff. When you sing it 20 times, you'll hit the note eventually. And then that's it. And I'll just cut it up and there you go. Right? With me, I leave my mistakes in. If you listen carefully to my vocal tracks, there's so many mistakes. The flat, sharp, I couldn't care less. That's how I sing. So why should I fix it?
He does capture a feel for sure. That's
pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, like if you listen carefully, hey, Joey, that note was flat. Why didn't you fix it? I go, why? Why would I fix it? That's how I sing. Mm-hmm. Like, why would I put auto-tune on that? Like that's who I am. If you like it, great. If you don't, you don't. Well, too bad. I mean, that's just, music's not meant to be perfect.
Like, it comes from a more honest place.
Imagine Neil Young auto-tuned. Or imagine like all these old singers from the past that were just rockers, or Jimi Hendrix, or all those guys, if they had auto-tune on those voices, like that was just heart. It was full heart. It came out of the heart, the mistakes and all. John Bonham was hitting his sticks during recordings, speeding up, slowing down. Like, who cares? It was brilliant. It was great. That's what music's all about. Now a lot of it's sterile. Everything is so perfect. I'm going, well, I'm not knocking it. It's good for them. Great. Knock yourself out. But not for me. It's under me. No. Music's not meant to be perfect. It's meant to be heartfelt and fun.
That's what makes it enjoyable recording, though, with Joey, though, is that just that fact that he does keep it loose. And, you know, you just play the song. Just play, you know, play 3 times, 4 times, whatever it takes. But, you know, we'll capture a feel. And he's more about feel than lining up the dots, right, which I really appreciate for me, because it's an arduous task to go into the studio for me, but he makes it a lot of fun and very easy to accomplish stuff for sure.
Yeah, because it's like, it's almost bringing in like the old days. You know, the old days would be 4 guys in a room or 5 guys in a room, and they'd be looking at each other like AC/DC, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, and then they play, right? Okay, so to recreate that with not having everybody in the same room, that's the best way to do it, is run the track 3 or 4 times and get the best performance out of you. Mm-hmm. That's as live as you're going to get, right? If you record it in pieces and do this piece and then do this piece and then do this piece and then piece it together, it sounds like it's not, you don't feel it, you know?
Yeah.
And it's not for me. I just like it as natural as it possibly can be.
He's not a proponent of punching in notes for sure. Like, Joey does like to keep it, you know, play the song all the way through. We'll capture it.
Hey, Freddie Mercury got punched in on Bohemian Rhapsody. If you'd hear an acapella, he got punched in. Everybody gets punched in on some, you know, the best. Yeah. One. But at the end of the day, it's feel. It's
trying to limit it though,
yeah,
right?
You try to limit it. Right? That's right. You try to limit that sterile sound. You know,
right?
And like when I hear perfect stuff, I go, I'm not stupid. I know it was Pro Tool to death. I knew everything was moved and locked up and perfect. Like, you know, like, hey, like I said, I'm not knocking it. It's just not for me. It's just not for me.
Yeah, I noticed your voice changes.
Yeah.
Sometimes remarkably during the same track.
Yeah, I'll scream and then I'll go soft. And that's it. I mean, It's like if you know, I know we're friends on Facebook. When I put up those, like recording a live vocal, that's the track. I actually sang that. That's what went on the track. You know, so people got to see me record it live. Now, did I go back and fix a couple things? Of course, I'm not going to lie. But 90% of what you saw me sing on the video, that's the track.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Mistakes and all, you know. Sometimes I sing the wrong lyric. Well, too bad.
the new lyric now.
That's right. But the feel was good. Like, see, when you got that feel, like Leave Me Alone, the track that you just played or you're going to play, that scream, that whole verses, that was one take. And it goes flat, it goes sharp, but that's how I felt, you know? And you can't beat feel. You can't beat the emotion. Music is emotional. And once you take it out, it becomes nothing.
I agree.
Yeah.
Well, the song Prayer from Fall from Grace EP.
Pray.
Sorry.
No problem.
It's
no
okay.
Problem.
There's my dyslexia coming in. Pray. Tell us a bit about that track because we're going to play it next.
So first of all, it's not a religious song because we get asked that. You'd be surprised how many religious people try and friend me on Facebook and Instagram because of Pray. It's insane. It's we're not praying. Well, it's like used in the terminology of pray, like this better turn around now. So it's kind of like I wouldn't say a revenge song, but it's like it's a situation gone bad. And, you know, you better pray this turns around now kind of thing. I'm only speaking for Adam here because Adam wrote the lyrics, but that's the gist of the song. Kind of an aggressive song. And interestingly enough, when we wrote it, it wasn't a fast song. It was recorded slower, much, much slower. It was kind of like not even mid-tempo, really. It was a slow tempo song. And Joey got a hold of it and recorded live drums, but didn't feel that it had much swing to it. And he kind of thought it was really boring. So what he did is he, you know, went to work with Lawrence, and they both decided to come back with a version that was faster, but we cut the chorus in halftime to give it more of an impact. And they came back to Adam and I and, you know, with a different version, which was the fast version that's on record now. And it was just like, wow, what a huge difference this makes, having it sped up and with that halftime chorus. It really, really changed the song and made it what it is now. And that song's pretty well, other than, you know, News For You, that song's been our most successful song. It was on heavy rotation on Sirius XM and some other radio stations. So it got a lot of airplay. It was pretty good for us. And it, you know, it got us a bit of a bigger audience and bigger following as well.
That's awesome. So we're going to hear Pray next.
We'll be right back.
I'm forever mispronouncing things. Tell you the truth, like Joey, you say you don't change things. That's me. I mispronounce people. I mispronounce names all the time, even if I know it. It's actually something that I can't change.
That's what makes you, right? You know, that's what gives you the charm in your voice. Well, yeah, well, the same with me. When I'm reading lyrics on the TV, I can't see them. That's why I'm wearing my glasses. I go, well, that's the new lyric. Man, I don't care. It might not make sense, but I don't care. Like, that's how it is. So
yeah. Sure. You call me Combo at the beginning. It's Combo.
Why didn't you tell me?
That's okay. You're going into your spiel. I thought I had to say. That's okay. I don't stop Joey when he makes mistakes. I'm like,
it's funny. You know what? I've had band members and tell me how to pronounce it in the green room, and funny. I get on the air, and I'm like, but Combo is Combo, right?
Combo, yeah, Combo. C-U-M-B-O, yeah.
I could do that.
Of course.
I could do that. It's okay. Yeah. Dad, we're going to go into the fourth track next. It's also from Fly Around the World, My Wonderful Life. Mm-hmm. I didn't get a chance to listen to it before we came on the air. Uh-huh. So you're going to have to give me a bit more background on it.
Well, the song was, like Lawrence started with this really cool idea. He pedals on this on a guitar, and mm-hmm. he had this vocal idea in his head. So it starts, let's say, on the one or something. Well, I came in on the three or something and took it in a different level. And he goes, "Holy smokes, that's cool! What a different tune." And then with the hook, both of us on the phone, he say, "How about this chord progression? How about this part?" So My Wonderful Life, fast forward all the technical stuff. The song is about dying.
Simply.
Yeah, simply. Really? Yes. Yeah, song's about dying, and instead of having regrets when you die, it's embrace all the beautiful things that happened while you were alive, and embracing death. Because it's a good thing. It's rest for the rest of your. It's resting the rest of your life, and you reflect on all the good things and the beautiful things that happened, in your life.
Wow.
Yeah. Retrospective piece. There you go.
I'm definitely going to listen to it. Now, when I was preparing for the podcast, I listened to "Save Yourself," "Pray," "Leave Me Alone," and "Fly Around the World." I didn't bring up that. I forgot to, but I'm definitely going to give it a listen.
Yeah, it was a song like I was just sitting there and basically it's like it's like a person finding out that he has a few days left. He goes to a place of solitude. He finds a place to lay his head down to rest, ready to die. And just reflects on all the beautiful things that happened in his life.
And Shay, you'll really like this part. If you watch the video on YouTube for My Wonderful Life, you'll catch a glimpse of my Yorkie.
Coco. There you go. Yeah, Coco.
Oh my God.
Yeah, Coco's in the video. Yeah.
Coco's the central piece of the video. So there you go. A little tribute.
Anything to get a glimpse of your Coco.
Oh yeah.
My heart goes out. Anything animally is me.
Oh, I love that.
So we're going to listen to My Wonderful Life next.
Think of my life that's gone by. Clouds coming in with the rain pouring down, mixed with my tears on the ground. Stories are buried deep in my soul, the memories forever live on. The times I smiled with the sun forever. Why? Why's angels come for me?
how did Yorkie get in the video?
well, because of COVID, we couldn't get together to shoot a video. So what we did instead is we each shot our footage individually. So my daughter filmed me, with her iPhone, and I thought, but it's a song about your wonderful life, and I have my dog, and it's a huge part of my life. Mm-hmm. So I thought I'll shoot some video with my dog and me in the video. It's not a huge part of the video, but she is in there. Coco is in the video, and a lot of people have made comments about it, so which is good because everybody loves dogs.
Wow, I'm definitely Friday night's my night to just relax and listen to new tunes.
Yeah,
I'm definitely gonna see that now that I seems buzzworthy. I probably put it on the blog this one weekend.
There you go.
Yeah, cool.
Promo code for the dog. Get her her video debut.
Maybe Jack will fall in love with her. Then you have a problem.
Oh, there you go.
For those who don't know the inside joke, Jack is my male Yorkie. Okay, it was a bad joke, wasn't it? Okay, so. You guys are really a great band.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
Where are you most active? Like, if fans want to hop on and catch everything about the band, what channel? Facebook, Twitter?
Yeah. So we're on all the social media sites. So we have our website primarily, which is www.sonicxband.com.
Okay.
That's the main page. And you can get everything there, news, videos. There's actually, you mentioned the two acoustic songs and releasing them. They're actually on our website for free for people to download if they like it.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, so if people really want the two acoustic songs, they can get it for free on there. We may eventually put them on albums as bonus tracks. Maybe, we might do that down the road. We're not sure, but they can get them now on our website. We have our YouTube channel, Sonic X Band. Instagram is Sonic X Band, Facebook Sonic X Band, and Twitter at Sonic X Band. So they're all the big sites. You can catch us there and get all the latest news and messages if you want. Chat with us, whatever you need to do.
That's really cool. Yeah. Do you have any releases coming out this year?
We do. A lot of the songs are ready. Mm-hmm. Not totally ready. They're written. It's just which ones to put out. It's which ones to put out. We don't know. So we're just kind of, I don't know, Joe, how many songs did we want to put out?
The next release will be an album. I think we're not doing it. We were going to initially toyed with the idea of putting out an EP, but because of the amount of songs, I think we're going to do a full album and even maybe a time. The problem is with Joey, there's so many songs, right, Joey?
With Lawrence too. I mean, like with all of us in the sense that like a lot of songs have been put on the table. It's finding the time because we're limited with this, with the pandemic and, being socially responsible because of our families. We have elderly parents and in Joe's case, in-laws and things like that. And, we have to be conscious about, this what's going on. So we're trying to do it separate and it's harder. So in a nutshell, we're trying to get the songs that best represent what we can do apart, So once we get that, I think then, it'll be sometime this year, but I don't know when, but it could be in the middle of the year or towards, I don't know. We still have to talk about it, but it's definitely coming out this year for sure. Yeah.
You have a 2021 album, but it depends, timing wise. Right. But pieces are there. We just got to put it together.
So
do all the logistics part of it.
I wish I could answer that question better, but I just don't know. But it is going to be this year for sure. And it's going to be a lot of songs. So,
well, the hesitation of making a solid comment is reasonable, given that we don't know from 1 week to the next what's going to happen. Yeah, that makes sense.
On my Facebook page, a lot of songs, like the songs that will be on that, there's always I always post like 30 seconds or 45 seconds of the song. So there's like a song called Boy that's going to come out. There's a song, you know, like there's like, yeah. So if you look, if anybody's friends with me and they go on my Facebook page and go throughout, like pieces of songs, they've all been like put out on social media. So those songs will be on the record.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. Previews. So you give us previews every once in a
actually,
while.
Actually, what the previews are is myself recording the live vocal. So when I would see that within my studio, I have like right now, I have a camera rolling. I always have a camera rolling, steady. And I take
you always have all a camera rolling.
The cameras rolling all the time.
Yeah, so be careful if you ever enjoy
all the time. Yeah,
be careful if you date Joey. So
like, actually, right now, as I got my girls, but we got on right now on Facebook as we were talking. I just took a picture because this camera's going. I just took a picture and I say, hey, I'm live on your podcast with you and Joe Cumble. I just put it on. Oh, yeah. So basically like tonight I don't know if I'm in the mood, but there's a song that we might be coming out with. I'm going to put the lead vocals down and what I'll do is I'll run the camera and that is the vocal. That vocal that's going to be heard on the record is what's going to be on the video. So
that's so very cool. I like that.
Yeah, just make the live experience as to what's actually happening, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't done it with drums yet, and I don't do it with guitars because I'm more just kind of write my ideas and Lawrence will do the guitars. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So on personal stuff, like I'll play guitar on my personal stuff, but with Sonic, Lawrence is doing all the guitars and things. So that's how we roll.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for sharing your music with us and a bit about the background of the song and some personal things. Really appreciate the time you guys took to come on.
Well, thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us. We really appreciate it.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, okay, great. Thanks. All right, bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you all for tuning in to the Buzzer Podcast Network. Season 2 begins soon. The Buzzer Podcast will wind down Season 1 of both programs. The top episodes of Season 1 will start airing September the 6th. These are the Season 1 shows with leading fan engagement, subscribes, and download count. The gratitude I have for the remarkable artists who share their music on the Buzzer Network is over the moon. To our loyal listeners, thank you for tuning in and being a powerful part of our achievement. Because of you, the Buzzer Podcast is top 10% of the most popular shows out of over 2.6 million podcasts ranked by listen score. Follow us on Instagram at The Buzzer Media and on Twitter at The Buzzer Indie. Subscribe fees at TheBuzzerPod.com. Without you, none of what we do is possible. Listen in and remember, without music, our canvas is blank. On Air Indie, from iPad to yours, over the airways. Until next time, cheers, y'all.